Welcome everybody to today's episode of Krishna in Vrindavan, and we're talking about everybody's favorite pastime,
Damodar
Leela, pastime of the month. So let's do our song. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Jai, Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, so this pastime starts off. This is from Canto 10, Chapter 9. We're starting from the first text. And it starts off, Ekada, one day. This is very much in the, even the Shukadeva Goswami, when he speaks the Bhagavatam, he speaks once upon a time, one day. So one day, Mother Yashoda, and this day was a special day, actually it was Diwali. So Diwali is it's a celebration of Lord Ramachandra returning from, returning to Ayodhya with Sita and Lakshman and Hanuman, and he was just victorious over Ravana. So it's a big, he's been away for a long time, and everybody is ecstatic in receiving him. And it's sometimes called the Festival of Lights, because everybody puts little lamps on their rooftops, because the idea is Ram and Sita, they're all flying in this flower airplane back to Ayodhya, and it's nighttime, so they want, they're hoping to, that Ram will look down and be like, oh, that's beautiful, and then the light, then look at their home and bless their home, and also that he'll be able to find his way easily. So it's a special day that's like a big, big celebration in India. It's almost like Christmas, a big celebration in India. And so because it was a special day, then Mother Yashoda, she wanted to do some special thing, just like on Christmas, you know, like we want to do special things for our family members, like in my household, my mother would always make like special cookies, you know, Christmas cookies, all different varieties of really like opulent cookies that we never ate at any other time of the year except Christmas. You know, these special, so many special things going on. So in the same way, Mother Yashoda wanted to make very special butter for Krishna because it was Diwali. So oftentimes she gets the servant, the household servants to make the butter. But today she was like, I'm going to make the butter myself because I want this to be extra special butter for Krishna on Diwali. And not only was it special because she was making it, but Nandamaraj and Mother Yashoda have 900,000 cows, and they have all different types of cows. There's like different names given to the cows. There's some cows that are called Murdungamukhi because their heads are shaped like a Murdunga. And there are other cows that are called Humsi because they're white, like a swan, very graceful. And then there's one kind of cow that's called Padma Ganda. And Padma means lotus, and Ganda means the smell, aroma. So these cows smell like lotuses. And why? Because the Padma Ganda cows are the ones that they graze in a special pasture land where the grasses that grow there are very aromatic. So it's kind of like, so then the milk, the grasses are so aromatic that the milk that those cows give is also like flavored. It's kind of like honey, you know, like you can get the orange blossom honey and the lavender honey and the, you know, eucalyptus honey. So depending on whatever the flowers are that the bees pollinate to make that honey, then the honey has a particular like flavor, little, very subtle flavor. So in that way, the milk from the Padmaganda flowers, cows has this flavor that's really nice and very special. So Mother Yashoda was like, today I'm getting the milk only from the Padmaganda cows, and I'm going to make the yogurt from that, and I'm going to churn it myself, and it's going to be the best ever for Krishna on Diwali. Because I want him to be really happy. And yeah, So then Mother Yashoda gets that together and then she starts churning. So she's churning, and there's a whole description of Mother Yashoda that we're going to read about soon. But while she's churning, she's just thinking about all the pastimes of Krishna. So the last few days, we've been hearing about all these very sweet baby pastimes of Krishna. You know, him stealing butter and, following the calves and then grabbing their tails and getting pulled along. And there's so many different pastimes of Krishna. So she's making up songs. And I'm going to read this paragraph from the purport because it's really nice and it reminds me of Kalakanta Prabhu. So it says, while churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. So just like we have the Dhammadurasika that we sing, and then after we sing that after you steal butter, your evenings and sunshine. So that's actually like Kalikant who took the translation, which was it wasn't poetry. The English was just prose, just translation, and he made it into poetry so that we can sing it. And then because of that, it's very easy to remember, right? Like anybody who's sung that song a few times, it's like you can just sing that song. And so that way we can remember Krishna's Damodar Leela, and we can just walk down the street singing it whenever we're doing our activities. Like she's churning butter and she's singing all these songs. So, and our Kalakantabhu took the whole 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and he made it into poetry. So we can learn that poetry and we can put it to music and sing that to, like Mother Yashoda did. So this is something that Prabhupada says that we should, if we're eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day, then that's what we should do. Be always singing about the pastimes of Krishna while we're doing our routine duties. Okay, so here's the description of Mother Yashoda, how Mother Yashoda is so beautiful. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and the Malati flowers were falling from her hair. So I thought this purport here was very interesting. I was reading it, and it says that anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. So, because Mother Yashoda has this mood of, Vatsalya Bhava, that her love for Krishna is a mother's love for a child. So she sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she sees the Lord as her little darling child. And so we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna, either as servants of Krishna or as friends of Krishna that play with him, or a parental mood towards Krishna that we want to protect him and take care of him, or as a lover that, we want to dance with Krishna and embrace Krishna and like that. So Prabhupada's saying that anyone who wants to cultivate this particular parental mood towards Krishna should meditate on Mother Yashoda, on the bodily features of Mother Yashoda and her activities, and then just see how one could fit in with that. So I'll bring this up a little later, I think. Okay, so Mother Yashoda, she's churning the butter, and in the meantime, Lord Krishna's sleeping. So little baby Krishna, he's sleeping. She put him down for a nap, and then she's churning and singing, and then Krishna wakes up. So usually when the small babies wake up, the first thing they want to do is get breastfed. That's like the babies are basically addicted to that. They're just crazy about that. Any time of the day or night, they just want to drink the mother's milk. So that's their favorite thing to do out of all things to do. So Krishna, he wants to drink his mother's milk. So she appear he appears, he shows up on the scene, and then he goes up to her, and he some places, like here it's described that he catches hold of the churning rod. So she has imagine there's like the pot, it's a big pot of like yogurt and cream that she's churning to make butter. And there's a stick in it called the churning rod. And on the end of the stick, there's kind of like some, like flat things that when she spins it, it goes like that. And then she's got a rope that's twisted around the handle of the churning rod. And then she's just pulling the rope like this. She's making it spin. It's kind of like, that machine that we have that's like dough hooks that just spins. So it's kind of like a non-mechanized dough hook thing that, she spins it with the ropes and it's going like this and it's making quop, quop, quop sound with the butter. So there's all this music. Like there's a whole kirtan going on because Mother Yashoda, she's got bangles on her arms and she's got ankle bells on her waist and on her feet. So it's a whole like bodily movement, where she's like, it takes some effort. So she's like, so she, this is moving, her, this part of her body is moving, and sometimes she's stepping, to get a good footing. So all this, there's all this jingling, like the kartals. And then the butter, because as the yogurt's getting thick, it's making, it's like, if you get like thick cream and it starts getting solid, then, if you would get a spoon and move it quick, it would make this thud, kind of like, doo, doo. So it's kind of making like a mrudanga beat. And then there's the jingling, and it's all happening in time because she has this rhythmic motion going. So it's like ching, 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 and then it's boop, 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 boop. And then she's singing Krishna's pastime. So she's doing like a, she's got a whole one-man band scene going, with her kirtan and her churning. And so, and she's just meditating on Krishna. This butter is going to be the best for Krishna. Krishna's going to be so happy. So then Krishna comes. And he puts his hand on the churning rod to stop her, like, and then sometimes it's that he stops, he holds the churning rod. Other places it's described that he puts his little hand on her hand, like that. Some places that he pulls on her sari, like, Mama, come, I want some milk, like that. But in any case, Mother Yashoda, it's like everything that she does is for Krishna. So she's like more than happy to stop what she's doing for Krishna to directly serve Krishna, because in any case, it's like it's all for the same purpose. It's all to please Krishna. So she stops and she sits down and she puts Krishna on her lap, and then she's letting him take milk. And in the meantime, she's just gazing at the face of Krishna, beautiful little angelic chubby cheeks of Krishna. And he just woke up, so his eyes are kind of like, squinty and sleepy, and his little pink cheeks from, lying down. And I mean, just thinking about Krishna before, the milk was already flowing from her breasts. And now when Krishna's actually there, then, so much milk is flowing and Krishna's just feeling so satisfied. He's just feeling so warm and cozy, and he's getting so much love and affection from his mother and a nice, warm, sweet milk. And so he's really relishing the experience, and so is Mother Yashoda. Then all of a sudden from the kitchen she hears shh, and she's like, oh no, I forgot I put the milk to boil on the fire. So then if you've ever boiled milk, as soon as the milk comes to a boil, it doesn't just boil like water and evaporate. It like comes up and up and up and up, and it overflows. So the milk was overflowing and spilling into the fire, and it was making this shh noise. And so she jumped up and she put Krishna down, and then she ran to the kitchen to take care of the milk. So the acharyas sometimes speak about the situation of the milk boiling over this way, that everything in Krishna's pastimes is animate. So even the milk is like an animate living being, and the milk is a sentient being. So the milk is thinking, oh, mother, Krishna's just taking so much breast milk from Mother Yashoda that he is not going to want to drink me later. He's just going to get his belly totally full on Mother Yashoda's breast milk. And then, my life is just wasted because Krishna's not going to drink me. So in that way, the milk is thinking, I may as well just throw myself into the fire. right now. I may as well just end my life. So yeah, that's the way a devotee thinks, you know, that a devotee cannot live without service to Krishna. So yeah, I mean, even myself, I was in a situation where I was doing a service that I really liked, that was a valuable service for the community, and then somebody kind of blocked me from doing that service, and I was just feeling so bad, you know, I was just feeling so kind of like unengaged and just kind of down, and I was just like, what's the point of my life, you know, if I can't do my if I can't do service? So that's the way that, you know, devotee just wants to serve Krishna. Devotee wants to be able to make some valuable contribution to the movement, and by that then we feel satisfied. So Mother Yashoda, she gets the milk, she cleans up the mess, and then she comes back, and then she sees that Krishna's not there. Well, the first thing she sees is that the place where she was churning the butter, there's a big mess. The pot that the butter was in is broken. There's butter on the floor, and there's pieces of a clay pot here and there, and Krishna's gone. So she immediately concludes, all right, I know how this happened. Krishna got angry because he was, you know, there cozy, all, you know, taking milk, and he got put down before he was ready to be put down. So yeah, she realizes that Krishna got angry and he's done this out of his anger, and you know, he didn't want to get in trouble, so now he's just run into the other room. So then she's like, okay. So she gets a stick that's, yeah. How old is Krishna? He's still small. He's just maybe around three or something.
He just started walking, right?
Yeah, or maybe two. He's probably two. It sounds like what a 2-year-old would do. Yeah. And the fact that, like, he's not, yeah, I think he's probably about two, three at the most. Yeah. So then she picks up a stick and she's like, okay, I'm gonna find him and I'm gonna teach him a lesson. Because that's Mother Yashoda's mood. She's like, I'm his mother. I have to teach him how to behave properly so that he will be a nice, grow up to be a nice young man. You know, he needs to know right from wrong, and I need to teach him. That's my duty. So she tracks him down and she finds him. And there he is in the storeroom. And he's, well, the way she finds him is that she follows his footprints, because he's stepped all over the butter and yogurt, and he's got these butter smeared footprints. And she follows them right into the storage room, where she finds him hiding, and with butter all over his face and butter all over his hands, and he's feeding butter to the monkeys over there. And she's just like, Krishna, you've really done it this time. You're really in trouble, my boy. And so she starts chasing him. Well, I mean, he runs. He runs away because he knows he's in trouble, especially when he sees her like with the stick. Not that she's going to beat him, but she just, you know, needs to show the stick only to get him to be serious. So let me just catch up to where I am from the verses here. No, they were all alone. It was just Mother Yashoda and Krishna. Actually, this pastime is pretty amazing. It's like, it's just all this pastime goes all day long, pretty much. And nobody else is there. It's just Mother Yashoda and Krishna until way in the end, when the trees fall over and all that. Then people come running because it makes like a huge thunderous sound. So, yeah, so Krishna's feeding and the crows are coming. Krishna's feeding the crows. And then, yeah, Krishna runs. And Mother Yashoda's chasing him. And because, you know, Krishna's this little boy, he's like fast. You know, Mother Yashoda's just kind of heavy set. And she's not used to running, and she's trying to run, and he's just like, he's actually afraid. He's like, you know, he doesn't want to get in trouble. And the flowers are falling out of her hair. Her hair is coming loose. Her clothes are getting loose. Everything is just, you know, she's getting huffing and puffing and getting exasperated. And then let's see what it says here. Yeah, is this says, while following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist, overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, the flowers in her hair were falling, yet she did not fail to capture her son. So yeah, she finally catches him. So it says here in the purport, Prabhupada's saying that the yogis are trying to capture Krishna by their austerities and by their by their meditation, but they can't even approach the tips of the toes of the Lord like that. Right now I'm reading from chapter 9, text 10. Is that what you mean? Are you talking about Brahma Samhita? Oh, I don't know. I wasn't looking for a famous verse, but there might be one. Yeah, Bhakti Mababhijanati. Yeah, that Krishna says that one can understand, one can attain me, one can catch me, basically only by devotional service. Yeah, so only by bhakti can Krishna be attained. And also, there's a verse from the Brahma Samhita that says, "Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhakto." That Vedeshu, by the Vedas, durlabham. Krishna is very difficult to obtain just by Vedic study, by the jnanis, by the jnana approach. But adurlabham atmabhakto, that by the devotion of the soul, bhakti of the atmabhakto, it's adurlabham. It's not difficult at all. In other words, it's very easy that when the soul has devotion, real love and devotion for Krishna, then we can attain Krishna. So, yeah. All right. So then Mother Yashoda catches Krishna, and then Krishna becomes really afraid now, because like before he's thinking, okay, I have a chance of getting free and I might be all right. But now when she catches him, then he's like, all right, this is it. I'm gonna get it. But before that, Mother Yashoda, when she saw that he was too afraid, she threw the stick away because she didn't want him to be like, you know, too afraid, because he's just a little boy. She wasn't gonna beat him anyway. But she thought that yeah, so then there's this scene where Krishna, he's crying, his tears, because she puts mascara on him, she puts kajal on him in the morning. That's like a standard thing that all Indian mothers do to their babies to this day, right? Did your mother put kajal on you? I'll bet she
I
did.
don't remember if it was the case.
Yeah, it's common, right?
Yeah. So
So,
like a lot of people like eyes.
yeah. So then, yeah. So he's crying, and the mascara on his eyes. He's rubbing his eyes, and it's getting all black, and it's dripping down his face and smeared all over. And Mother Yashoda just catches him. And then, yeah. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord, the source of all incarnations. But Mother Yashoda doesn't see him like that, because her love is so intense that it overpowers any conception of awe and reverence that one would normally have for the Lord. So this is we talked about this yesterday. This is a very unique feature of the Vrindavan pastimes, that it's just pure sweetness and pure love that they have for him. And it says, because of maternal affection, she never even cared to know who he was. She didn't care. Whoever he is, that's fine. He's my son and I love him, and that's it. That's all I need to know. So, yeah. But then she thought, you know, I have to somehow restrain him so that he doesn't continue with these naughty activities, because he's still upset. And, you know, sometimes kids, when you punish them, they'll go and do something more mischievous. Like, I remember even when my mother used to yell at me, and then she would tell me to go to my room, and I would go upstairs, and I wouldn't go to my room. I would go to her room, and then I would go to her jewelry. She had these jewelry boxes, and we were never allowed to like touch her jewelry. But whenever I was angry, every time she sent me to, I would go to the jewelry boxes, and I would open them, and I would mess up all her jewelry. I would put it on, and I would like mix it up, and just to be, you know, like, I don't know, it's just kind of like a childish thing that, like, yeah, like you're gonna do something against me, I'm gonna do something against you. It's kind of like a thing. So she's thinking Krishna's upset because he didn't get his way, and now, you know, now I've chased him and I caught him, and who knows what he's gonna do next. So she says, I need to stop him from being more naughty. And then also she saw that he was feeding the monkeys and how he really liked the monkeys, and she was thinking that now he's a little bit afraid of me because he knows he's been bad, and I'm afraid he's just gonna wander off into the woods with these monkeys, and I'm gonna lose him. He's gonna run away from home and join the monkeys. So she was worried about that. So then she decides, I'm going to tie him up. And apparently this was kind of like a standard practice in I don't know if India, but at least in Vrindavan area at that time, that they would tie the children up. So she's got this big, huge wooden grinding mortar, like heavy wooden thing that they use for grinding the spices. And so she got some rope and she was trying to tie him up to this grinding mortar. But no matter how much rope she got, it was always short. And Krishna's only like a little kid. He's only like that big around. And she got this long, and maybe the mortar is like, that big around at the most. And she got this big piece of rope and she tied him around, and it was just that much, like two fingers too short every time. And then she thought, okay, let me get some more rope. So she got some more ropes, and again, two fingers too short. And by this time, some friends were going by, and she said, oh, can you bring me all the ropes from your house? Because they're all, cow herders. They all have lots of ropes for tying up the cows and calves. So everybody's bringing ropes. Everybody's bringing ropes and ropes. And she's tying all those ropes one end to the other end and trying. And no matter how many ropes she puts together, it's always that much. It's always just like that much too short. So she's.
The time and other thing around, so just one time around.
It's still just one time around too short.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very mystical.
Does it not register in your head that, there's a lot of work and it's not coming?
I mean, she's just so intent on doing that she's not thinking about the math. She's just like, it's not enough rope, get more rope. Oh, it's still not enough rope, get more rope. So, like that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Krishna's just, no, he's not smiling. He's still scared. He's like, he's like, a little baby when they're upset. So, yeah. And it says that he's shaking, he's huffing, like, when little children, they do that. So the necklace of pearls on his neck is, it's like moving because he's trembling and breathing fast. And yeah. Rubbing his eyes, and the whole thing is just like kind of like prolonging the torture for poor little Krishna. But of course, it's a loving exchange that they're having, because Mother Yashoda is doing it all out of love, and Krishna's doing it just to enhance her love. So the thing is that, like, in all of Krishna's pastimes, almost all of his pastimes, he shows in some way that he's the Lord. Yeah, so here it's with the two fingers too short thing, and he almost has to do that because otherwise people will start thinking, like we will start thinking, or ordinary people will start thinking that he's just an ordinary child. So there always has to be some little thing there that, yeah, he acts like an ordinary child. Oh yeah, but actually he's the Lord. Actually he's totally in control of the situation. And also, the demigods are also watching all these things, and we see that even though he, displays some powers sometimes. Brahma gets bewildered, and seeing him just sitting with his friends eating and carrying a lump of food in his left hand, think this can't be my Lord. This can't be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he tries to test him. And Indra also, he gets upset. Who is this little kid to, stop my worship ceremony, the Indra Puja? And I'll show him a lesson. So because he acts so well, because he plays the role of an ordinary child so well, the demigods get bewildered, and they actually think that he's an ordinary child, and then they get themselves in trouble. So yeah, so Krishna sometimes has to exhibit his opulence, exhibit his power, so that we don't forget who he actually is. So that's the two fingers there. And also it's instructive to us, because the two fingers represent that two things are required to be able to achieve Krishna, to achieve this, sublime loving relationship with Krishna. And one is our endeavor, that we need to do our best to perform the practice of bhakti yoga. And then the other thing we need is Krishna's mercy. So Mother Yashoda was trying, 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 but she couldn't tie up Krishna. And then finally, when Krishna agreed to be bound. Actually, there is a verse here. We can look at text 18. is that verse that says that Swamatu Swinagatraya Visrasta Kabarastraja Dristva Parishrama Krishna Kripa Yasit Swabandane. Chapter 9, text 18. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. So the significant thing here is Dristva Parishrama Krishna. So Dristva means seeing, and Krishna. So Krishna, when Krishna saw what? Parishramam. So pari means all around, like every, you know, every possible way. Shrama. Shrama means labor. You know, we have that verse, famous verse from Bhagavatam, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, that it's all just useless labor. So this is Parishrama, that she's like laboring very, like, you know, with determination and with all her energy to try to catch him. And when he saw that she was so working so hard, like Parishrama, he could understand that she was overworked and feeling fatigued. Then Kripaya, then he became merciful. Kripa means merciful. And then Asit Swabandane. Asit, he agreed to be bound. Swabandane, that his self would become bound up. So that's also instructive to us, because we can see that Mother Yashoda was totally determined. And in our own devotional service, we also need to be really determined and not to give up easily. Like, she could have just given up, but she didn't. She was like, you know, really, nothing was going to stop her from binding Krishna. Somehow or other, she was going to bind Krishna. So she wasn't distracted by anything. So the point is that, like, you know, like when we're distracted in our chanting, when we're distracted in our service or our reading, it means that something is more important to us, right? When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you start thinking of something else, because that's something that's more important to you than chanting. So we have to get to this point where there's nothing more important to us than our relationship with Krishna, that Krishna is our top priority. Just like Mother Yashoda, that when Krishna is the most important thing in our life, then we won't be distracted. So Mother Yashoda is just like, this is my duty as a mother. Krishna is my son, and this is my duty as a mother to stop him from, to teach him, you know, to not be a nuisance. and there was nothing that was going to distract her from that duty. Yeah?
Yeah, I was curious, because you mentioned that she was like, basically, you know, really tied, a lot of hard labor went into that.
Yeah.
I was curious why oftentimes in Krishna consciousness, you know, Krishna pushes us to the limit before we really, you know, we get bliss or we get something.
Yeah.
You know, why is the extreme of, like, good, like, why we're just almost done with it?
Yeah, Krishna does do that. He wants to see the degree of our surrender and test our determination and to do our part, you know, because the thing is that we are the ones who turned our backs on Krishna and came to the material world, you know. So Krishna wants to see, it's just like if you have a relationship with somebody and then you mess it up and then later you want to, you know, you want to get back together with the person, but you know, the person is hurt, like you dumped them for whatever reason. And now you're going to come crying back. Then you need to prove yourself to that person. You need to prove that you're serious, that you're not going to take the relationship cheaply. You're not going to just abandon them again. So, yeah. So Krishna wants to see that we're serious and that we're actually willing to go the extra mile for him. That his pleasure is the most important thing, even if it's a great inconvenience to us. But we're willing to sacrifice our own comforts for Krishna's pleasure. Evan?
I'm curious that you're explaining it, that I'm so wired and so hard that it speaks to how much try and try, but it really comes down to
Yeah, everything that we do in bhakti, I mean, we can't cause our own spiritual advancement. There's nothing that we can do to get free from our anarthas, to make spiritual advancement, to realize our constitutional position, to go back to Godhead. All of our efforts are just to try to induce Krishna to be merciful. And then by Krishna's mercy, then all these things happen. Exactly. Yeah. That's why our service has to be sincere, and it has to be done with the right intention to please Krishna. It can't just be mechanical. Because it's not like, it's not like you put your money in the machine and you get out your can of soda or whatever. You know, it's like, we have to really please. It's all about what pleasing Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, then he'll be merciful. And he's not pleased by just kind of like mechanical, kind of like selfish or, you know, just routine kind of service. He's looking for bhakti. You know, he says it time and time again. If one offers me with love and devotion something, food, then I'll accept it. Not just, okay, Krishna, you know, I'm gonna say my mantras and I'm gonna ring the bell and you have to accept it because I'm following the process of that I've been taught how to offer food. No, that's not it. Krishna's just like, that's not how it works. Sorry. You gotta have bhakti. Then I'll take it. yeah? Trista. Yeah, they were telling the story.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that, whatever endeavor, but also our determination is also shows how we approach the devotees and hold us.
Yeah.
The way that money is one of the main things that comes about.
Yeah.
And it's often the pleasure of everyone. You
know? Yeah.
Especially with some devotees who are on the same path, they want to be the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why, approaching devotees is trying to please devotees, serve devotees is very powerful because the devotees are very dear to Krishna. And by pleasing them, then Krishna becomes very inclined to give us his mercy. So, yeah. So here we see that, let me see, there's some more verses here. So here we see in this pastime that there are many contradictions in Krishna's nature. For example, Krishna's nature is that he's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. But then here we see that he is suffering because of hunger. Mama, feed me, I'm hungry, right? And he's getting upset because she puts him down before his belly's full of milk, before he's had enough to eat. And then we see that although Krishna is Atmakama, that he's able to fulfill his own desires, but he desires the love of his devotees. He does all these pastimes just to evoke more and more love. Krishna's very greedy for the love of his devotees. And then, although Krishna is Lakshmipati, which means he's the husband or the lord of the goddess of fortune, but still, he steals butter like a beggar. He has to go steal butter from other people's houses. What's that?
Contradictions.
Seems like contradictions. Yeah, that's what I'm going through, all these different contradictions that we see in Krishna's pastimes here. And then another contradiction is that Krishna is feared by fear personified, yet he's shaking in fear of Mother Yashoda. And then we read in the Sri Upanishad that Krishna can run at the speed of the mind, right? But he's caught by Mother Yashoda. And then, what's that?
Mother knows best.
That's right. That Krishna is all pervasive in his Brahman feature. He pervades and supports the entire universe. Yet he's captured by his mother. And then he's the person, he's the giver of liberation to all eligible souls. Yet he's tied up. He can't get free himself. And then Krishna is the supreme controller, but he's controlled by his devotees' love. So all these really nice pastimes of Krishna. So here we see the difference between tattva and rasa. And no, it's just from, well, there is a verse here. It says here, not all of them. I just have my own list. But it says here that text 19, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Shiva, Brahma, and Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This is now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. So, yeah. And he's glorifying Mother Yashoda. Yeah. Yeah, we saw yesterday that in his belly is the whole universe, right? Twadiya darayata vishvasya damne, that his belly is the shelter of the whole universe. And probably that's why she didn't have enough ropes to go around it. But in another sense, his belly is only that big. So who can understand Krishna? He's inconceivable. So, yeah. Another, Krishna also has these nice qualities that he's bhakta vatsala. He's favorably disposed towards his devotees. And then there's another quality that's not so well known. That's bhakta vashyata, which means he becomes subordinate to his devotee. Like Krishna becomes subordinate to Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. He becomes his chariot driver. And yeah. So in these pastimes, we see how eternally liberated devotees, Nitya Siddha devotees, who are imbued with so much love for Krishna, are behaving with him. And we can actually appreciate them by, we can follow them by appreciating the quality of their services and their natures, like their moods and their attitudes towards Krishna. And we can also aspire to serve them and to love them the way that they love Krishna. And in this way, we can please them and one day enter into these pastimes. So one thing I was thinking is a nice meditation that we can all do, and to whatever extent our knowledge and realization goes. But one thing we can think about when we hear these pastimes of Krishna is, if I was in that pastime, what would I do? You know, how would I serve Mother Yashoda? So, you know, would I be bringing a rope to help her? Would I, go to the kitchen to help clean up the overflowing milk? Would I, wipe up the buttery footprints on the floor? Or, like that. Would I, take the stick from her when she was going to throw it? It's like, I'll take it. Would I bring a little tissue to wipe the tears off Krishna's face or the perspiration off Mother Yashoda's forehead? You know, so we can kind of like just think about ways that we might like to serve these great personalities and assist in the pastime, because ultimately that is our reality. That is what, you know, we have a place somewhere in those pastimes. And right now we don't know what that place is. Yeah, that's right. This is my reason. Otherwise I can't read my notes. So because this world that we're in, it's just a temporary situation. You know, we're not these bodies. This world is not our home. Our home is there. Our home is with Krishna in the spiritual world, where he lives with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and the cowherd boys and Srimati Radharani and Lalita and Vishaka and the other gopis, and they have all these pastimes. So while we're hearing about all these pastimes, we can just meditate on them and think that this is where I'm meant to be. That I have a place up there. I have a personality. I'm a servant of Krishna somewhere in there. And that's the whole point of, hearing these pastimes is to, one, it's purifying. Two, it's attractive. You know, we get attracted to know more about Krishna, and it awakens our love for Krishna. But also, you know, at more advanced stages in devotional service, it's natural that the mood of a particular devotee of Vrindavan will begin to resonate with our own hearts. You know, it will resonate. We'll be attracted to a particular eternal associate of Krishna, and he'll want to hear, you know, more about how Madhya Yashoda and Nandamaraj deal with Krishna, or more about how the cowherd boys play with Krishna and like that. So yeah, this is something that we have to look forward to at higher levels of bhakti. But it's just nice to think about that, like, you know, Madhava Prabhu was saying, that they're not just cute stories, they're not just for our entertainment, but this is the reality. This is like our real life, that we're somewhere in there. We've just forgotten. We're just in sort of like an amnesia state, and we need to wake up and understand, you know, what our real place is. So yeah. And we can long for that and pray to Krishna for that, express our desire for that. You know, when we're chanting, when we're hearing, when we're doing service, we can meditate on these things. Internal cultivation. Okay. Any last questions? A few minutes left. Yeah.
Just thinking when you're saying that, you know, it's not there, maybe like this in those past lives. I was thinking that you naturally have love, someone you naturally think of them.
Yeah.
So at the point in life, you know, finding thoughts. Yeah, I was trying so hard, but I realized that eventually it just comes normal to think of Krishna after the past lives.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more we hear, the more that attraction awakens. You know, like there's the story of Rukmini. So Rukmini never met Krishna, but her father was a king, and many devotees would come to visit the palace, because the king, his duty was to receive, you know, Brahmins and saintly people. So they would always come to the palace. He would receive them nicely and give them charity and sit them down and ask them, you know, what's the news? What have you seen? And they would talk about Krishna, because, you know, Krishna was alive at that time and they knew about what he was doing. And that was like the most interesting thing to talk about, because Krishna is the most amazing person. You know, he was like a celebrity. So just like nowadays when people talk about what's happening in the lives of celebrities, in those days people would talk about what Krishna is doing. So then she would be sitting there, or she would be helping, you know, to serve the guests, and they would be telling about Krishna. And so she was hearing all about Krishna's activities, Krishna's qualities, and Krishna did this, and Krishna said this, and, you know, Krishna dealt with this way, and he dealt with that way. And she was just saying, Krishna is amazing. You know, like, Krishna is just the coolest person I've ever heard of. You know, like, his qualities are just, like, astounding, you know, and so attractive. So she decided, I want to marry Krishna. But she was a princess. And she was, you know, like approaching marriageable age. And she just fixed her mind that I want to marry Krishna. Yeah. And but her older brother was trying to marry her to someone else. He was trying to arrange her marriage with another person who she didn't like. Shishupal. Yeah. She was just like, I would rather die than marry that guy. So then she wrote a letter to Krishna. She wrote this love letter to Krishna. Krishna, I know we've never met, but I've heard all about you. And in my heart, I've decided that I want to marry you and only you. So please, they're trying to arrange my marriage to Shishupal. Just come and kidnap me and take me away before they can do that. So Krishna actually did. He came and he just came on his, you know, like a knight in shining armor on his chariot, and just swept her off her feet and carried her away, and they lived happily ever after. But that was all just from hearing about Krishna. So like that, you know, the more we hear about Krishna, the more we become attracted, and we think, I really want to have a relationship with this Krishna. He's an amazing person. And the more we desire that and ask Krishna, you know, we can write our love letter to Krishna, asking him to accept us and have a closer relationship with us. And we can, you know, pray for that while we're chanting or any time of the day. And Krishna responds. What's that? Mimi, you have a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So before she met her, he got the princess, did Krishna have an intention of knowing that she was a harlot for him?
I think so, yeah. I mean, she was actually his eternal consort.
Yes.
From the spiritual world, yeah. But they hadn't personally met in that, you know, current lifetime. Yeah, yeah. She was the first one. Yeah. All right, so our time's up. Thank you all for your comments and questions and kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Damodar Lila ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.